Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So we'll get to your questions for President Obama at his news conference. We did invite Jake Tapper, ABC News senior White House correspondent, since he's not going to be there today, to tell us what he would ask if he was there. And here's a little what he said last hour.
Obviously, Petraeus and General Allen and what he learned, when he learned it, what his concerns are, what the issue is. Two, there's a lot we still don't know about Benghazi, and I'd still want to know both about before the attack, all the denials of extra security that the State Department would not give to the people on the ground there, what happened during the attack, why it took so long for the administration to come to terms with the reason behind the attack. And then lastly, obviously, the fiscal cliff. I'd want to know where he thinks there's room for compromise and how far he's willing to go.
Jake Tapper on our show last hour, which he prefaced by saying every good reporter brings three questions to a White House news conference because you don't know what's going to get asked before they call on you. Chris in Manhattan, what would you ask if you were there today?
What are we going to do about, what is he going to do about this bloated military? I know the cliff would make a good cut if we went over the cliff, but if we don't, if he's going to compromise, how is he going to, not just bringing troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean the constant spending on useless weapons, outspending the rest of the world, troops scattered all over the world in bases that where they're not really needed. Mm-hmm. What is he going to do about that?
Chris, thank you very much. And from Chris in Manhattan, we go to Chris in Montville. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. What would you ask?
Well, I think that it's a bit foolish to jump straight from the election with the heated rhetoric straight to this fiscal cliff negotiation. And maybe it would be a smart idea to limber up the bipartisan spirit by tackling Citizens United. I think you could form a coalition of representatives in the House who are afraid of being primaried by outside money and do that, establish some rapport between the left and the right, mm-hmm. and then tackle the fiscal cliff. I think we're forgetting about Citizens United because we think it didn't work because the Democrats did pretty well.
Chris, thank you very much. Mary in Summit, what would you ask the president today?
Yes, hi. I'm actually speaking on behalf of what President Obama considers is the rich portion, in the sense that all this talk about taxing the rich, seeming like that is a big solution to the problem. The quotes I've heard that amount would be very small, and does he understand the implications of what's happening with that? Because it's sending a message out to our younger people that, well, if you're successful, you put in time and effort, and you make a certain amount of money, well, you're going to be punished for that because you should pay more than your fair share because you were successful.
Well, you say punished. Do you think people will not have the incentive to go out there and be successful because their income tax rate would be 39.5% as opposed to 35%?
Yes, because I've seen some things where people say, as you know, towards the end of the year, sometimes you get bonuses. Well, if that bonus puts you over that certain limit, they actually recommend you don't take that bonus.
Mary, thank you very much. So, Todd Zwillick, we've got three on the table there so far, cutting the military budget, Citizens United, and arguing the damages or the dangers of actually raising the marginal tax rates on the rich. How do you think he would answer the military question? And is this going to be a big part of the negotiations, just how deeply he can get Congress to cut the Pentagon?
It surely will be part of the negotiations because, look, that's where the money is. All of this cutting of discretionary spending we've been doing over the last year or two is nice, but it's not a whole lot of money, Brian, even though it sounds like it. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the military, that's where the money is.
Yep.
So they're going to have to go there. It is difficult to make deep cuts to any military. They've already made some, and there was consensus to make some. The caller was correct that we call it sequestration, which is a fancy word to say automatic defense cuts do go into effect on January 1st if some form of a deal isn't made between now and then. So there are some defense cuts on the table that people really, really don't want, especially Republicans. They're very skittish about it, and Democrats feel like that has added to the president's leverage in the short term to get Republicans more flexible. So on defense spending, I think the president might say, well, I don't want deep cuts either. That's why Republicans have to come to the table.
All right, let's do another round. Rosemary in Princeton, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Hi, Brian. I would ask the president what he is going to do about the fact that we are creating a permanent underclass of people by having more men of color in incarceration now than were enslaved in 1850. And what are we going to do about the for-profit private prison industry, the Corrections Corporation of America and the like? And why are we allowing the debt ceiling to be the argument of center stage again, or the fiscal cliff? I'm sorry.
I would also really like to hear him ask that incarceration question. We identified that in our 30-issue series as one of the big missing issues from the campaign that neither side was willing to raise. And so that's one that I would also like to hear come up at some point. I don't know if it's going to be at today's news conference. But, Rosemary, thank you for raising it. John in Paramus, what would you ask the president?
I would ask the president, is the federal government going to interfere in the marijuana passes laws of Colorado and Washington? And if so, why?
Thank you. Bob in Darien, what would you ask the president?
My question is, in 1913, when they created the Federal Reserve Bank, there is a clause in the legislation that allows Congress to dissolve the Federal Reserve Bank and absorb all of its assets back into the U.S. Treasury. The single largest asset that the Federal Reserve Bank has is the debt owed to it by the U.S. Treasury. You want to get rid of the national debt, stop borrowing from a private corporation, right, and start issuing the currency through the U.S. Treasury the way it was intended.
Bob, thank you very much. So out of those three, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, let me pick the Colorado and Washington question, which came up earlier in the show with Penn Jillette. Do you think, do you think somebody will ask the president this question, considering what happened on Election Day in those states? And how do you think he would answer, should the federal government use its right of being a higher power than the states and actually stop Colorado or Washington from setting up legal marijuana stores, which the people voted for them to do?
It may well get asked, I would imagine, pretty far down the list, since the country is fairly obsessed with the Paula Broadwell, David Petraeus imbroglio at the moment, and then maybe the fiscal future of the nation after that. So maybe they'll ask about this too. But it's related to the first question too, which is incarceration, isn't it? Since so many of the people in prison are there for drug offenses. Those two things are related. You know, this isn't the first time we've encountered this, because California and other states, of course, have had legalized medical marijuana. And there has been a debate. There was a Supreme Court case on whether the federal government still has jurisdiction over cracking down on drug operations that are legal under state law, but still illegal under federal law and under DEA statute. The Obama administration, as far as I know, and I don't want to go too far with this because I don't have all my facts in my head, has sort of maintained its right to keep enforcing federal law, but hasn't really done a lot in California to do so. I'm not aware that they're still arresting people in California under the fact that, that marijuana remains a controlled substance federally, even though medical marijuana, for instance, is legal under some circumstances in California.
That's interesting. I'd have to look into that, because I've heard from other people that people in California are very frustrated with how tough the federal government has been on,
and that may be the case,
what they see as abuses in the medical marijuana system, indicating that they don't want to be soft on recreational marijuana. But we will see if that comes up. Let's see. On Twitter, Carolita asked, how will you bypass the House if they continue to block you and the Democrats regarding the expiring Bush tax cuts? Susanna asks on our Facebook page, what are you going to do about climate change? And Kari asks on Facebook, why do you think UN Ambassador Susan Rice is more qualified and deserving of Secretary of State over Senator Kerry? Huh. How do you think he would answer that last one? And do you think that he has settled on Rice over Kerry, who are said to be the two leading candidates, assuming that Hillary Clinton really does retire or resign?
It doesn't seem as though he settled on Susan Rice, although it's clear that she is the first choice. Longtime ally. Why does he want her? He trusts her. Longtime friend, longtime ally, and despite the public mess of the Benghazi experience, which is still not completely unfolded, I think that it's clear that she maintains she maintains the president's confidence. Republicans in the Senate have said not interested. So a lot of what will go into that calculus, Brian, maybe isn't so much about how much the president likes Susan Rice or respects her or trusts her. Does he want to pick a fight? Because Republicans in the Senate have made clear that it's going to be a fight and we'll go to the mat on her. So
because of Benghazi.
Choose your battles.
All right. The takeaways. Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Very informative. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure, Brian.
And thanks to all of you for your questions for the president. We'll see what the White House Press Corps actually asks at that news conference at 1:30 this afternoon, which we will carry live here on WNYC.